y'all remember this fella right here. He's going to come and do what he did on that first Sunday. You know, he led our singing in the very beginning. He was our chorister there for a little bit. And he sang.
God, I'll let you have it.
Me too, Richard. Me too. No. Big shoes to step into. But this is what he sang on that first Sunday morning.
The verdict was in, all the evidence away. The finger of justice had declared I must pay. And I, the defendant, could not plead my case. So he put his blood on it, and all was erased. He had mercy, pure mercy, on a prisoner condemned to die. He had mercy, pure mercy. I had no pardon in sight. Then Jesus passed by. He had mercy on a sinner such as I. I'd been apprehended. I was in custody. The whole world was wondering, what would God do with me? And all my accusers were standing in line, but he ordered them, stand back. He said, this one is mine. Oh, I'm so glad I'm saved, glad to be sanctified. I'm glad I'm blood covered, doing heavenly time. There's one thing for certain, I'm even more glad to know that when God goes out walking, he goes down on death row. He had mercy, pure mercy, on a prisoner condemned to die. He has mercy, pure mercy. I had no pardon in sight. Then Jesus passed by. He had mercy on a sinner. He had mercy, pure mercy, on a prisoner condemned to die. He had mercy, pure mercy. I had no pardon in sight. Then Jesus passed by. He had mercy on a sinner such as I.
Mercy. I need God's love. Amen. It's good to see you in the house of the Lord this morning. It is a special service. It's a time we're going to celebrate where God has brought us from, and folks, we're safe thus far.
Amen.
You know, sometimes what the devil wants to do is remind us of the obstacles, remind us that there are troubles or problems, but we're here today because the blessings of God, the mercy of God, the grace of God. Just a couple of announcements I want to make. Let's remember Celebrate Recovery Ministry here at the church on Monday night. God is blessing in Celebrate Recovery. He's going to continue to. And we need to pray that God would send somebody here that we could help. Yeah. Y'all know there's a lot of people out there that need help. Amen. Pray that God would show them to us, would be able to reach out to them. Also, we're going to have a men's conference September the 17th. And we got this real good-looking guy with a Yankee accent going to be coming. They don't have a picture of him up there. They might put one up in a minute. We're going to have Mountain Man here from Duck Dynasty to speak at our men's conference. And Now, ladies, this is for men. They said we got to make sure that we announce that this is for men. Y'all welcome to have your own, okay? But this is a men's conference. And we're looking for God to move. Here's what we want. We want God to come in amidst this church and convict our hearts and to strengthen us and draw us closer to Him. That we would be able to be the men of God that He would have us to be. And that's certainly something we need to do and be in these times that we live in. Another thing I want to announce is August the 28th, Sunday a.m. Were we able to get Brother Justice lined up for that?
Yes.
Justice Banwell is going to be in the country, but he's going to be here on that date, and he's coming here on a Sunday morning. This is a missionary that we support to India. Now, I mentioned Wednesday night about some of the things that I'm hearing about India, about some of the troubles that they're having over there in ministry and getting things into the country. So I'm interested very much in hearing what Brother Justice has to say about how they're doing. You know, we had a very successful Bible school here at the church. We had several saved. We had we averaged about 150 kids. And we had a lot going on. But, you know, there's a lot goes on here regularly. And one thing I want to mention this morning is, you know, we have children's church over here while we're having church in here. And we have a children's church that's growing. And I was thinking about this, and Kendra and I were talking about it actually this week, that about how Miss Angel has taken that and she's been very faithful to work and to support and to take care of children's church. So let's remember that ministry as well. I mean, it's like having something for our kids every Sunday that somebody has prepared, okay? And that ministry is growing because now we have a rotation, we have crafts, we have music. Well, along the same lines, we have Awana coming up in the fall. And this is something that's really been on my heart. I mean, I support the Awana ministry. I've worked in Awana for several years. I was a game director. And I'm just going to tell y'all, I'm not going to be satisfied until we have a building with an Awana square in it. Okay? I have a vision for that. And I want God to, be, you know, God's doing great things here. And you say, well, I don't know about that. Well, God can do it. Okay? God wants us to be able to have what we need to worship and to serve Him. And part of Awana is having an Awana square and having Awana games. Now, folks, we had 150 kids here in Bible school. I don't think it's an unreasonable goal for us to shoot to have 100 kids here in Awana. Do you know how many people there are out there right now that their mamas and daddies don't take them to church? I heard a little boy one time, he said, I quit church when I was 14. And you listen to it, why? He said, well, my mom and daddy quit, so I had to quit. Let's find those that their mom and daddy's quit and bring the kids here. And when God begins to affect the children's lives, it'll go home. And when they say, I'm getting baptized down at Hiram First Baptist Church, guess what? Mom and daddy going to come. Then they're going to see God move and they're going to hear the word of God and their lives are going to be impacted. Amen. I thank God for that, and folks, I believe that. Another thing I want to mention, and I'm going to ask Brother Allen, and we're going to have some of the youth come up for just a minute. You know, we went to youth camp. This is the first Sunday the youth's been back. We had five saved at youth camp, but God really moved in our youth, and I want to ask Brother Allen to come up and just speak for a minute, and we're going to have just a short testimony from some of our youth.
Good morning, church. First of all, I want to say thank you very much for the people in the church. And as a church, you supported us as we went to youth camp. And I want to thank you from the bottom of our hearts. Thank you very much. And I was warned before we went about how good the preaching would be. And when I got there, I found that to be true. And, I when we left and went to go, I thought, I've really got to keep these children together. You know, make sure everybody stays, and we don't get separated and things like that, and make sure that we're all in the right spot during service and everything. But I had no idea that that service and that preacher would affect me like he did. It was very, very good preaching. And I would recommend that if anybody could get a hold of some of the messages, I know Brother Rusty's trying, that you listen to them. They're very good. And, you know, Brother Joe said a while ago that he wants... you know, his prayer is for God to be amongst the men in this men's conference. But just the same, I pray that God be amongst our young people. And I believe that's happening right now. And it was a blessing for us to be able to go to this. We had a great time. In fact, some of the children just desperately wanted to stay and not come home. But unfortunately, we did have to leave. But instead of me telling you about it, I think what would be best is to have them tell you about it. All right, I'll start off with Maddie.
This is my fourth year going to Global, second with the church, and I can say honestly that it gets better every year. Roger, the preacher who runs the camp, he is amazing, and he has such a heart for youth, and he will preach at you and will yell at you and will make sure that you don't fall asleep. He will, oh goodness, pretty much do anything to keep your attention, but he is so good at what he does, and every year I come back changed, and every year is something different that he has laid on each of our hearts. And I think that it's very important that if you are able to go, that you definitely go in the next years and in the coming years, because it truly is a life-changing experience.
Hi. I was a family leader, and what that does is I basically was with my group, and I was told that I had to teach other kids or help memorize Bible verses. And at first, I'm like, I don't teach. I don't do well speaking in front of people like I'm doing right now. But I was like, okay, because Alan asked me to do it. I was like, okay, I got this. And when I got there and I realized I can do this, I thought, I got God, I can do this. And I thought it was a cool thing because I had God speaking through me and teaching people that I don't know. And I thought that was the coolest thing ever, and this camp was awesome, and yeah.
This was my first year going to Global, and it's awesome. Like, anybody who didn't go, they missed out completely. You can really feel the Holy Spirit moving in the room, because everywhere you look, people are raising their hands, they're on their knees praying, stuff like that. But it was an awesome experience, and whoever... I seriously encourage anybody who didn't go that they're missing out. It's a lot of fun.
I tell you, the purpose that we go is to see children saved and to rededicate their lives. There were 5 children saved and an abundance of rededications. And I, like they said, If there's a child and they may not even go here, if we could make it possible that they be able to go next year, I would strongly encourage it. Thank you very much, church.
And we're thankful for what God's done, for what God's done in Bible school, for what God's done in youth camp, or for what God's doing in the church. You know, July the 17th, we're having conference. We're going to have council meeting on July the 10th. A couple of things I want to mention about conference to make everyone aware is on July the 17th, we're going to vote on Brother Allen being our youth minister. And I want to say a little something about that. I've had several conversations with, you know, those that are involved with the youth ministry here. And I don't want you to think this means we don't need a youth ministry team. That's quite the opposite. We need a bigger team. And I got some things I want to share with you about my vision for that. But Brother Allen's been going over, and he's been teaching and preaching to the youth for just about a year. And he and I have been talking, and he believes, and I believe, that God has placed a call to ministry on his heart. And I believe that, and I've talked to him, and I've seen it. He comes regularly and preaches at Celebrate Recovery, and he preaches to our youth. We've been having a youth service on the third Wednesday night. We want to start having a youth service on the first and the third Wednesday night. And I want you to be praying about this, and I believe God will send the workers for this. We want to have a food team. We want to start feeding our youth, because I believe if we will start serving and reaching out, folks, this is an opportunity for ministry in this community that hadn't even been begun to be tapped into yet. Now, I want you to think we're just getting started, okay? Amen. We're just getting started at this church, and, you know, we have a youth ministry team. We have a lot of ladies and guys that are involved, and we thank you, everyone. Those that work with them for music, those that coordinate outings and get-togethers, and even when we were up there at youth camp, you know, and the work that was done, keeping everything straight, Miss Christie did a fantastic job of working with that. We've had a lot that were there that were working. I mean, obviously, we had someone drive the bus. We had to have a chaperone in each room. And, of course, the music. And we got some talented young people here. And we want to continue to see them grow. So let's be in prayer for that in the conference on the 17th, voting for Brother Allen to be our youth minister. But we're also going to set a time to ordain Brother Allen into the ministry. I feel like that's something that we should do to show him our support, that we believe in him, and in the calling that God has placed on his life. Now, I'll tell you, as a preacher, growing up, it means a lot to be in a church that'll support you. Okay, and I think that's very important. And I told the church when I came here, as they were talking to me about the pastor, that's something that I would do. That if there's any young preachers in the church or people that are called to the mission field or called to ministry, that we would support them. Now, I'll tell you something else we need to be praying about, and we'll probably be talking about it in conference, is our financial situation. Church, our church is paid off. But what has God got next for us? Okay? We need to be taking into consideration what God has blessed us with to be good stewards of what God has done. That's responsibility. Now, I'll say one more thing, and I get out of the way. We've got some good stuff coming up. Is we are working very hard to get the Primitive Quartet here to the church. Now, we've also talked to the McCameys, but I think we'll have the Primitive Quartet here first. And I'll tell you what, you think, well, he's all about the young people. Y'all see my hair, what little bit there is. I tell people this, and they look at me, I'm like, it's kind of unique. They say, how can you like the Newsboys and the Primitive Quartet? I just do. So we're looking forward to having them here. They're both serving the Lord. That's why. Amen. This morning is Mission Sunday. If you got anything you'd like to give to missions, we get a basket down here. We also have a bus. Always need money for the bus. We need gas, and we got some pending repairs. And if you got anything that belongs to the Lord and you'd like to give it, we're going to take offering in a minute, but you can do that. But let's stand and shake hands with one another at this time.
Be using this song here as our offertory this morning, and we actually did this song as well on the first Sunday, and I did get to lead this song that day as well, which I'm kind of excited about it today. And this is a song that everybody knows, and I don't know if they got the words on the screens or not, but if they don't, the page is 333 in the red book, I'll Fly Away.
thank you, Lord, for this beautiful day. I thank you for our church. I thank you for every soul that's present, Lord. I ask that you'd be with those that are traveling, Lord, that are away on vacation. Just watch over them and keep them safe. I ask, Lord, that you'd be with Pastor Joe. Lord, just anoint him and just let the Holy Spirit turn loose, Lord, so that if there's one that's lost, Lord, that they might seek you out before it's too late, Lord. If there's one that needs ministering to, Lord, we're here to minister to them. Just give them the courage to step forth, Lord, so that we can just pray with them, Lord. Hold their hand, put our hands on them, and just minister to them. And just cover them with love, Lord. Watch over us now. Go with us. Lord, I ask that you just take this that we're about to return, that we've been so richly blessed with, Lord. Take it to help us further your kingdom, to reach those that are lost, Lord. Go out into the mission field. I ask all these things in the sweet, precious name of Jesus. Amen.
There's a building program going on in heaven. Construction carried out by God's own hand. 1,500 miles wide, mansions standing side by side. The streets are paved with gold throughout the land. Now they say there'll be no dying in that city. No sickness and no sorrow will be known. The people will be young, no division, all is one. Eternal celebrating going on. Don't you want to go with me to God's new city? Don't you want to hear that heavenly choir sing? Don't you want to touch the nails, God's hands that brought this great salvation plan? Can't you feel a stirring in your soul? Don't you want to go? I have many loved ones waiting over yonder. How I long to see my precious father there. Don't you want to go with me to God's new city? Don't you want to hear that heavenly choir sing? Don't you want to touch the nails, God's hands that brought this great salvation plan? Can't you feel the stirring in your soul? Don't you want to go? Don't you want to hear that heavenly choir sing? Don't you want to touch the nails, God's hands that brought this great salvation plan? Can't you feel a stirring in your soul? Don't you want to go? Can't you feel a stirring in your soul? Don't you want to go?
Don't you want to go? Yes, I want to go.
Go.
program going on in heaven. Construction carried out by God's own hand. 1,500 miles wide, mansions standing side by side. The streets are paved with gold throughout the land. Now they say there'll be no dying in that city. No sickness and no sorrow will be known. Salvation plan. Can't you feel it stirring in your soul? Don't you wanna go? I have many loved ones waiting over yonder. How I long to see my precious father there.
God is good. Mortgage burning service today. I'm going to give you a little bit of history just of the Hyam First Baptist Church, kind of how it got started. And by the way, Savannah was the first soloist at Hyam First Baptist Church when it started on the 15th. Quint Evans was a pastor of Pleasant Grove Baptist Church for nearly 19 years. On May the 8th, 2011, he resigned. Quinn said, "I am resigning as of right now. I didn't say I was retiring. I said I'm resigning. You're going to hear more out of this old boy. I may be going to a rock pile, but it will bloom like a blossom." Church folks, that's Hyam First Baptist Church, and it's blooming. Amen? Quinn resigned on the 8th of May, 2011, and on Monday, the 9th of May, he called together Jimmy and Patricia Bill, Marvin and Joyce Bill, Terry and Melissa Hayes, and me to meet with he, Quinn, and Martha at their house. After prayer, he told us that God had laid upon his heart to start another church. God gave Quinn a vision. He first shared this vision with his wife, Martha. Then with those of us in attendance, we traveled from Quinn's house down the road to on Pool Road to the Plantation Church to see if that was the place we needed to start. After looking it over and some discussion, Quinn said this: "This is not the place." He asked Terry Hayes, "Where's Terry at?" He asked Terry Hayes, he said, get in touch with Dennis Bellamy at Bellamy Funeral Home to see if we could rent the chapel to start our new church. Dennis met with him. Then we met with Dennis, and he told Pastor Quinn that, yes, we could have the chapel to start our first church at no cost. Amen. I like that, didn't you? Quinn was asked in that discussion, well, what shall we call our new church? He replied, hire First Baptist Church. I've always wanted to be a pastor of a First Baptist Church. Amen. 1 week after Pastor Quinn Evans resigned from Pleasant Grove Baptist Church on May the 15th, 2011, we had our first service in the funeral home chapel with the name Hiram First Baptist Church. We had in place an administrator, minister of evangelism, celibate recovery director, choir director, piano player, Sunday school teachers, nursery coordinator, nursery workers, deacons, sound and video system that was far, far less than what we have today, but we had it for congregational singing. Celebrate Recovery's first service was on Friday, May the 20th, 2016. We now meet on Monday night. Hiram First Baptist Celebrate Recovery has served the Paulding County Jail and the prison since 2011. Hundreds of souls have been saved or changed. In October 2011, Hiram First Baptist Church Awana was started, and Hiram First Baptist Church Vacation Bible School started in 2012 at New Canaan Baptist Church because we didn't have enough room at the funeral home. But we had our first Vacation Bible School church in October of July 2013. Hiram First Baptist Church was incorporated on May the 31st, 2011, and on June the 26th, 2011, we had our first baptisms. Amen? Yeah. Say amen if you don't mean it. Yeah. Throughout 2011 and part of 2012, we tried to get a loan. We asked any and everybody. We wanted to purchase some property. We had people looking for property everywhere. I got so many calls from Robert Gillum, I thought, Lord have mercy. He even called me about a convenience store one time. I said, Robert, where's the convenience store at? He said, over in Douglasville. I said, Robert, it's Hiram First Baptist Church, not Douglasville. Got Robert off of that. Then we had the New Covenant Church, which was this church here, but we didn't have the assets. We didn't have enough money to borrow money. You got to have money to borrow money. Do you know that? You got to have some collateral. But anyway. Then we, Ricky Mahan. Where's Ricky at? Ricky Mahan. Ricky, stand up. Ricky Mahan, riding home from work down this road, and he noticed a sign out there, for sale or lease. At that time, it was called New Covenant Church. And what did he do? He called a pastor at that time, Steve Foster. Steve Foster, in turn, got a hold of Bruce Dutton. Bruce Dutton got in touch with the owners of that at that time. They were the owners of the church, Brenda and Parks Davis. And later that evening, on the same day, got a price on this property, had an offer made, and then, as we say, the rest is history, part of history. But then on Sunday, the 18th of November, 2012, at a special call conference, Bruce Dutton, by the way, Bruce did a magnificent job of presenting this. He did a magnificent job of doing the due diligence on all of it. And he put together for the building and search committee that. And then in the form of a motion, we brought it before the church. And after a floor discussion, I'm talking about a knockdown, drag out. I'm just teasing. I'm just teasing. I've been to conferences where that happened. You show up in the flesh at a conference, and I'll tell you what, you will have chaos. Right, Joe? But after a floor discussion, ballots were passed out. The Hiram First Baptist Church members voted unanimously to purchase the property for $620,000. Woo! Man. With the money we had saved, $263,000, and with an interest-free loan, I like that part too, of $360,000 from a loving, benevolent couple in our church. We purchased the church. Amen. Stand up. That's worth shouting about. We purchased the church property and closed on December the 13th, 2012. The loan payment was $4,000 a month. They brought that before the committee, and I thought somebody was going to pass out. $4,000 a month? Well, I don't pay that much on my car. And it was for a period of no longer than 7.5 years. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We paid this loan off on June the 22nd, 3.5 years. Woo! Stand up again. Woo! Boy, thank you, Jesus. If I didn't have a bad leg, I'd dance across this podium right here, from there to there. Tommy Bruce would too. Okay. Our first service at our new home was on January the 27th, 2013. Brothers and sisters, members, visitors, God has blessed this church. We have seen miracle after miracle. We have been blessed to have had a pastor like Quint Evans and his wife, Martha, who God gave a vision to start Hiram First Baptist Church. We are blessed to have a small group of people that believed in Pastor Quint's vision for starting this church. God has blessed Hiram First Baptist Church by sending us a pastor like Joe Holcomb and his wife, Kendra. Another. Amen. Get this. Pastor Joe, under the leadership of God, will continue to lead Hiram First Baptist Church into the future. God has in store for Hiram First Baptist Church many more blessings. At our church, we are growing. Look around. Look at the many different leaders that God has provided us with. Look at our youth today. Boy, thank you, Jesus. From just a very small number in the beginning, wow. We have workers with God-given talents, with a vision from God, that are willing to work under the leadership of our pastor. We will continue to reach out. Yes, and I'm talking about reaching out. Out, out, out. Because you see, that's where it's at. It's not necessarily in here, but this is where you get equipped. This is where you get filled. But when you get filled, you go out. You go out to bring others in, that souls may be saved, lives may be changed. That's what it's about. So I ask you now, those members that joined on May the 15th, 2011, and on May the 22nd, 2011, I'd like for you as charter members to stand very briefly. Stand, would you please? Look around, folks. All of them are not here. But this is the start of Hiram First Baptist Church. Now, with that, thank you for letting me do that. By the way, this is, now a lot of people can write history. I'm not a historian, but I'll tell you what, I do have God-given ability to keep and save records, videos. I took more photos than you can imagine. I don't take them much today because I'm not here all the time. But I'm going to tell you something. This is going to be put into the archives. We're going to have a Hiram First Baptist Church historical archives that we can put all of our stuff in. And by the way, young folks, anybody that has something going on, if you take videos of it, pictures, whatever it is, we will put those into the archives as well. Now, I put together a short video. Brother Joe asked me this. He said, "Tom, how long is this video going to be?" I said, "Joe, did you ever see Gone with the Wind?" He said, yeah, and if I remember it, it had an intermission. I said, "Joe, I promise you on the Word of God, standing in this pulpit, it will not be as long as Gone with the Wind." Just about as half. No, really, seriously. This little video, I want you to know this, that it gives what I've just said in pictures and some video of how High and First Baptist Church got started. If you will, dim all the lights in the sanctuary, please. All the lights back there in the back, please. Okay, we are ready to roll the video. Thank you very much.
How you doing, church?
Good.
Isn't the Lord good to us?
Yes.
I want to take just a minute with you this morning. I hope we'll keep you from Grandma's house or Mama's house to get that good food. But at this time, I'm going to turn in my resignation as the pastor of this church, and it'll be effective as of right now, okay? Please remember, I didn't say I was retiring. I'm resigning. You're going to hear more out of this old boy. I may be going to the Rock Bible, watch it bloom like a blossom. Amen?
Amen.
That's what's going to happen. Amen? God bless you. God bless you. We love you. We always do. We live in heaven with the Lord.
Thank you. as our pastor, as our new church, or our new pastor to our church.
Hey!
You're confirmed and everything is great. If you're willing to accept this church as being a pastor, you know what the pastor's wife.
We very humbly
accept. Amen.
I guess it's just when I look at this church and the love and the people here, I'm overwhelmed. And there's something that doctors take called the Hippocratic Oath. And it means do no harm. And that's my oath to you, is to do no harm.
Amen.
To be a pastor that you can trust, that lives what he preaches, and just preach. We all know I just got to preach what God gives you.
Absolutely. Amen.
But not in me. I also want to say that I didn't get to meet Pastor Quinn, but I can tell from looking at this church and the people in this church that he was a man of God.
Right.
Yeah.
I know you respected him and you loved him, and as far as I'm concerned, he's my pastor too. And I'm just here to do whatever I can to help you. This, there's really nothing I'd rather do in my life. If I were independently wealthy, this is all I'd do. But I'm so on fire, I can work for you, I promise.
This time, I want to ask Miss Martha and Marvin and Joyce Beal if you would come up.
That was awesome. It was very moving. Thank you. Oh, my goodness. It's amazing what the Lord has done. I just want to say thank you to everybody. And thank you for believing in the vision that the Lord placed on Quinn's heart. I want to thank Pastor Joe this morning. He's sharing his vision with us. And the scripture says without a vision, the people perish. He shared his vision for Awana and the building and his vision for the youth. And we need to all get behind Pastor Joe, and he's our leader, and he's been such a blessing. And I want to just tell a couple, two or three funny things popped in my mind. We've paid off the loan in 3.5 years, and it's all of the Lord. But Quinn was a very funny person. He was very serious, and maybe some things might seem sacrilegious to you about things he said, but it was all in good humor. And a couple of things, since we've paid off the loan, I'll share with you. One of them was one time he stood up to take up the offering, and the ushers were down with the plates, and Quinn said, how many of y'all believe in the hereafter? Everybody raised their hand. He said, okay, we're here after the money. Oh, and then one time he said, we were taking up a special offering for missions, and he said, folks, we've got the money. Problem is, it's in your pockets. So he could say some funny, funny things. One thing, he was always telling jokes, and a lot of times I was the brunt of the joke. So he told this, and this is an old joke, and I'm sure y'all have heard it. Some of us have sat through his jokes for years, same ones, over and over. And we laugh every time because he got tickled at himself telling it, so we're laughing along with him at his joke. But he told that I had sent him a note right before service, and an evangelist was going to be preaching. And he opens up the note, and it says, K-I-S-S. And the evangelist says, oh, how sweet, your wife sent you that note. And he said, well, this note means keep it simple, stupid. And so his idea was, you can preach deep theology, but you've always got to have some cookies on the bottom shelf. He said, for the children, you always got to put cookies on the bottom shelf with his sermons. And so I guess what I want to say is another thing he would say to all the singers, the choir directors, was if you sing about Jesus, that's all I want you to do. Just sing about Jesus. I'm going to preach about Jesus, and it's all going to work out. So that's the key to having a great church is Jesus is the focus. And we are his hands and feet, and we're going to stay in tune with him and follow him, and he's going to do a great work. He's going to continue doing a great work here. And there's one thing I want us to do before this service is over. You know how we've always recognized and honored our servicemen. Well, we've got a young boy that's going to go leaving today for basic training, and it's Grant Pitcock. And so before our service is over, I do want us to have special prayer for Grant. And so Pastor Joe can do that if he would. Please do that. We need to do that. We are the body of Christ. We are the local body here at Hiram First Baptist. And a member of our body is about to go into armed services. And honest to goodness, this day and time, I don't know how anybody could volunteer. But Grant has volunteered. So we love you, Grant, so much. And that's one thing, again, if you knew Quinn, he was extremely patriotic. And I want us to continue doing that. So anyway, I've talked enough. Love you guys and appreciate you. One last thing, to have a successful church, we're going to keep our eyes on Jesus. We cannot forget missions because we've got to take the gospel around the world, locally and around the world.
These ladies are going to make me speak, and I'm really not a speaker, for real. But what I wanted to say about Quinn was that what a loving person he was. It amazed me about his mind, how he could remember stuff. We had probably 700 or 800 people in that church we come from. He knowed everybody's name, every little kid's name. That always amazed me because I could never get my mind focused around that. But when I seen his picture up there, I wept. Not for him, but for us. Because we're still here. We still have a work to do. He's gone on. Amen. And what a loving man he was. The only way you'd ever get to know what a kind person he was is to be around him and be with him. And God just blessed me to have a part, to be me and my brother and everybody else that's involved with him, to be a part of his life. Because, you know, God will put certain people in your path in order to make you strong. Yeah. I hadn't always been a Christian. Most of my life I lived as a sinner and lived in the world. But he had a way about him to just draw you close to him. And everybody that was involved with him, he always said that I was his best buddy. Then I realized that really everybody was his best buddy. He didn't have no one best buddy, but he made you feel like that you was his best buddy at all times. And how much he loved this woman here, I couldn't explain to you because we used to go eat breakfast basically every morning with him and meet with him a lot of times when she was in school working. Then I'll tell you this little story about him. And all of a sudden, Jimmy says, "Wonder where Quinn's at? We can't seem to find him no more." And I got to thinking one day. I said, "Well, Martha is out of school. So me and Jimmy got put on the back burner, and everybody else with Martha was out of school. But, you know, he loved people, he loved pastors, and he was a called man for God. God actually called this man to be in the ministry. They are people that just want to be a minister, but he was called. I feel like my pastor now is a called person from God. And I feel like that if Quinn Evans could look down right now, he'd say, praise God for this man that's in this pulpit right here today and his wife that's here representing him. Because Quinn always said, you can always tell a pastor by his wife. And I just love him, love his whole family. And he didn't treat me no better than he did any of the rest of y'all. And that's what I loved about him. He loved everybody all the time. And Tom, Pastor Quinn, was actually funnier than Tom is.
I'm overwhelmed this morning. I don't know if I can speak. But from the first day we met Brother Quinn at Pleasant Grove, we had been out of church for 2 years because Marvin's mother had been sick, and we were having to stay with her night and day, us and my brother-in-law and sister-in-law. We went to Pleasant Grove, and Pastor Quinn preached. And this man here, he don't give in easily, and he don't make quick decisions usually. When they opened the doors to the church, he went down. And I said, I had been praying for a church, but I didn't know it was going to be that fast. And I didn't know he was going to be. I said, so I guess God's answers our prayer. So I followed right along behind him. And from that day on, we supported and loved Brother Quinn. But that was on Sunday. On Monday morning, my phone rang, and it was Pastor Quinn. And he said, good morning, Joyce. And I said, good morning, preacher. He says, this is not your preacher. This is your pastor. And he says, there's a difference. And there is a difference that I have learned. And he was our pastor until he went to be with the Lord. And there is so much that I could say and so much on my heart, but I just can't get it out because I think that everybody here knows what a good man, a Christian man, a loving man of God that loved each and every one of us and loved souls, do anything to see souls saved. And When he asked us to start this church, my heart was broken the morning he resigned. I had no idea what we were going to do. And then he calls us right up, and there was no ever in between of trying to make a decision. Are you going to go here? Are you going to go there? What you going to do? We knew wherever Brother Quinn was, that's where we were going to be. And I thank God every day, and I reminisced last night over all the things that he was a part of our life in our church, and there's just too much to say other than I love Pastor Quinn, and I feel blessed to be in this church amongst the people that were ministered to under him, because I know there's so much love in this church, and it's just an awesome church, and Brother Quinn started it, and Brother Joe is going to take the rim, and we're gonna go. I just can't wait to see what God has in store for us, because, folks, I'm telling you, we paid that loan off in 3.5 years. But if you've seen some of the offerings that we got, I don't know how we possibly did it. And some of the things that was done in this church, how everybody just pitched in, and did things and gave their money and all, and it all came together. But it could have never happened with what we did. It was because of what God did. And I love you.
Yes, amen.
I'd like to say one more thing. What's awesome about this church is people like sitting back behind us that don't never take no credit, don't want no credit, but they work in this church for nothing. They get no pay to work in this church. People, a lot of people don't know that, but they love this church and they love God. They do what they do because they love God. And I just want everybody to know that they deserve a lot of credit for what goes on right here.
Amen.
I just realized something. I need to go shopping. I've got the same skirt on I did the day we joined the church. I ain't spending your money on clothes. I saw that and I went, oh, Lord, I hope nobody else sees that. But there it is. Okay. Wow. What a wild ride. Let me tell you something. If you're not saved, you are missing. Whew. I don't even know if I'll be able to sing. Let me tell you something. When I first heard Quinn Evans preach, it was at a church, a little country church we were going to, and he came and did revival one night. I went home that night, and I told Terry, I said, I ain't never heard nothing like that. The sight of heaven, I said, the Lord spoke. And I said, I don't know who that man is, but you got to hear this. And here we are all these years later, worked from Moore Street in Pleasant Grove where there was 150 people, I'm telling you, with another blade of grass and folks' body parts hanging out the windows, to the funeral home where they were just dying to come and join us. Literally. We'd have funeral services. We'd have church services. I taught Vacation Bible School in a closet because it was the little kids. And I thought, Lord, it's got to be you because anybody else would have ran for the hills, right? Then all of that, built that huge place over there, and people come. And let me tell you something, I've seen lives change. I've seen babies healed from yellow. We got people in here that can testify to things. If you think the Lord ain't real and on fire and working, you ain't looking. Now, you go to a lot of churches, you won't find this right here. People that love each other, and they love the Lord, and they'll do anything, literally, go to a rock pile. I had, when he resigned that morning, I thought, oh, well, get Martha the coffee pot ready because, you know, I'll just come sit in the living room. I didn't know what else to do. And then Quinn said, looked at Tom and said, we're going to start a church. I went, oh, he has surely lost his mind, Lord. And it's the greatest thing because, you know, that's what it means to say, what Sunday we were talking about this morning, stepping out on faith. Just trust. Step out on faith. God can do mighty and great things with little. Look what he's done with us. We're the least likely people to do something great. And it's because God, we allow God to go work through us. And then God was already preparing this man right here. The day Quinn resigned, I'm telling you, I realized it was about the same time. You know, that's what he does. He's big like that. I can't think past this podium here, but he's got it all under control. Preparing these two sweet people, Brother Joe, to take the reins. The wagon's loaded. We going forward. And there ain't no telling. And I'm just going, hang on. To see what he does next, because you don't miss a service around here because something's going to happen. You're going to see it on Facebook, and you're going to be going, I knew I should have been in church. Yes, you should have been in church. So with that being said, Quinn would have loved you dearly. There's so many similarities, and I figured it out. It's the Holy Spirit. It's your ability to allow God to move through you, to lead people that ain't got a clue, but we just crazy enough to hang on and go with it, you know? And what Martha said, Quinn did say that to all singers and everybody that ever spoke. He said, you sing about Jesus, I'm going to preach about Jesus, we're going to teach about Jesus, and someday we're all going to heaven to be with the Lord, and we are family. So this is a song that I sang that he cried every time, and I would cry. I don't know if I'll remember it all, but it is about Jesus.
His heart was broken, mine was mended. He became sin, now I'm clean. The cross he carried bore my burdens. The nails that held him set me free. His life for mine, his life for mine. God's Son would die to save a wretch like me. What love divine, He gave His life for mine. His scars of suffering brought me healing. He spilled His blood to fill my soul. His crown of thorns made me royalty. His sorrow gave me joy untold. His life for mine, His life for
carried Him every day to that same temple gate, where He would sit and beg, a hopeless man. Nobody ever thought He had a chance to walk. Oh, how they were wrong. God had a plan. Then one afternoon, two men came to the temple, bearing a gift from the Lord. They told Him to stand up, and soon He was leaping, shouting, "I'm crippled no more. I have been healed. I've been touched by His grace, and I felt His power, and now I am changed." There's one explanation: the God of creation has done a miracle in me. Let my story be known, let the truth be told. I have been healed. hanged her head in shame. People would look her way. Everyone knew the doctors had given up. 12 years was long enough. They tried, but there was nothing else they could do. Then one day when Jesus was walking through town, she touched the edge of his robe. Now he asked, "Who touched me?" At first she was silent, then trembling, she knelt and spoke. "I have been healed, I've been touched by his grace, and I felt his power, and now I am changed." There's one explanation: the God of creation has done a miracle in me. Let my story be known, let the truth be told. I have been healed. Oh, the power still flows from the great physician I felt it before in my life. He's transformed my heart, my body, my soul. But some have explained it away. But I know I have been healed. I've been touched by his grace, and I felt his power, and now I am changed. There's one explanation: the God of creation has done a miracle in me. Let my story be known, let the truth be told. I have been healed. Let my story be known, let the truth be told.
Verses, and then we're going to close in prayer. I want to ask you if you would in a minute, Grant, if you don't mind, come up. We'd like to pray over you. That's all right. This is scripture out of Psalms chapter number 84. I was reading this week and we were thinking about the service, and I found this and it just really stuck in my heart. It says, "Yea, the sparrow hath found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee, Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, and whose heart are the ways of them, who passing through the valley of Baca make it a well, and the rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength, every one of them in Zion appeareth before God." And when I read that, I thought about how that God has provided a place. And it's the place that we can bring our children and we can hear the word preached and we can sing about Jesus and we can worship and we can praise him. And, you know, we can be involved in Bible school and seeing children saved. And we can be involved in missions work that goes out and reaches the places that a lot of us will never get to go. And God has allowed us, folks. You realize how blessed we are?
Yes.
We are blessed.
Yes.
And God wants to, I believe with all my heart, God wants to continue to bless.
Yes.
And I believe this too. It's not, and I say this, and I mean this with all my heart. It's not about us.
No way.
It's not about me. It's about him. And if we keep that in our heart and our mind, you know, I've said this before. It's one of those write-it-down statements. There's no telling what you can do for God.
if you don't care who gets the credit.
Amen.
And as long as we've got that mindset, we're going to see people saved.
Amen.
If you know somebody that's lost, it's time. I was talking to somebody before church. It's time to get them in.
That's right.
Because Jesus is coming soon. Amen. I want to ask Grant if you would to come on up, and we want to pray for him as he's going, you know, to boot camp. He's going to serve in our military, and I'll ask the deacons if you would to come up, if you would, Grant, just meet right down here, and we'll gather around you. And this will be our closing this morning of our service, but you pray for him as well. You know, we're going to pray for this young man, but we got others. You know, Brother Allen and I've had some conversation with some of the men of the church. Every year, the way God's blessing this church, we're going to have young people graduating. And as a church, that's something that we need to be praying about, is what God has for us to prepare for them, to keep them involved in a part of this church. And as they go out into their lives, that God would put his hand on them and he would use them for his honor and glory. You know, I love my kids, and I was looking at pictures of them, went and saw my grandboys, but you know, they're not going to stay a little long. Our responsibility as parents is to raise them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, that they'd learn to follow him themselves, because God has a plan for every one of their lives. They're not ours, they're his. So we're going to pray, and I'm going to ask Brother Tom, if you would, to lead us when we pray, and Brother Greg, if you would, to take up after Brother Tom, and then I'll close, and this will be our closure of our service today.